Your Bibles this evening, if you'll turn to 2 Kings chapter 18. Second Kings 18 begins the reign of Hezekiah over Judah, and in verse 1, it says, "Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign." It's significant to note that he was the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, who was a very wicked king. He had a long list of things that he did wrong. One of those was that he served false gods. He caused Israel, or he caused Judah to serve false gods, and he passed his children through the fire in worship to gods. And that's not, we're not clear as to whether or not Hezekiah was one of those that was passed through the fire, but no doubt his life was touched by the wicked reign of his father. Either he was personally scarred by the flame, or he was scarred by watching his brothers and sisters pass through the fire. But he escaped, he narrowly escaped the horrible, wicked reign of his father, which included lots of idolatry. It included, in times of chastening, selling themselves to the king of Assyria to be his servants when they could not fight off the Syrians, and trusting in other nations, and trusting in other gods, and worshiping the kings of those other nations, and worshiping the gods of those other nations. And you can find all of that in 2 Kings 16, 17, and 2 Chronicles 28 as well. But Hezekiah had lived through that. He had lived through a very dark period of time in the history of Judah and Israel. Perhaps even himself wearing scars from being passed through the fire. And that day in the history of Judah and in the history of Israel is, to me, so much, when you read about it, is so much like the day that we live in. Children being sacrificed to the world in so many different ways. From education to just basic compromises that are made by parents in the lives of children. Passing their children through the fire. Their children bearing the scars of these things. In 2 Chronicles 28, when Hezekiah took the reign, he stood up and he spoke before the people and he said, "These things, these are the reasons that our women and our children are captive." And we live in a time in which God's people are very captive by the world today. We're very oppressed. We're very stricken by the world today. And that was the time in which Hezekiah began to reign. And he could have went one of two ways. He could have followed, as many kings did, in the footsteps of their father, but the Lord had not used those circumstances to turn him away, but rather to turn Hezekiah to himself. And we see that beginning in verse 2. 25 years old was he when he began to reign. He reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the son of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had did. He had lived through all of that. He had lived through serving other gods. He had lived through trusting in other nations. He had lived through compromise. And he realized that it had gotten them nowhere. On the other side of things, Hoshea is reigning in Israel, and Hoshea is selling his soul to the king of Assyria to survive. And the king of Assyria just wants more and more money, more and more tribute, and he sees that this is not working. And we read later on that he rebelled against the king of Assyria. But we're going to look in verse number 4, and a list is there of some of the things that he did when he began to clean house. And he really, in his day, did a lot of house cleaning. You can read more of it in 2 Chronicles. The house of God had been shut up in his day. I mean, it was dusty and filled with cobwebs, and it was filled with vile things, and the doors were broken, and he opened up the house of God, and they carried out all the filthy things and threw them in the river, and they did a lot of cleaning up. And God's people got right for the first time in a long time. But in verse 4 is where we'll begin. It says, "He removed the high places and brake the images and cut down the groves and brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense unto it, and he called it Nehushtan." There are several things listed there: high places, images, which is not the sense of graven images, but it's the sense of pillars or altars. He cut down the groves, and those were just, that was something that Israel had learned from the other nations, the Canaanites and many others that had groves in which they worshiped their gods. Some of these are blatant idolatry, some of them are not. High places, if you study the history of high places, sometimes high places were places where God's people spoke to God and got with the Lord, and prophets made sacrifices. High places weren't necessarily just in and of themselves evil. It was depending on how they were used. Groves were always just, those were always evil. That was something that God told his people way back in Deuteronomy. He said, "Don't have any groves anywhere near my house, anywhere near my altars, nowhere around where you worship me." Some of these things are blatantly wrong. Some of them depended on what you were doing and how you were serving. Each of them probably has some significance that I'm not able to bring all out. And I'd love to hear somebody bring out the significance of all of these in our modern day lives, because I believe they're there in our modern day lives. I believe our lives are riddled with idolatry in the days and age that we live in. I believe our hearts are filled with trinkets and idolatry in many different forms. But the one I want to look at is the last one, and that's that they had begun to worship the brazen serpent that Moses had made. They'd begun to worship that thing. It was a piece of brass. It was a snake made of brass that it was a symbol of Christ. When they had sinned against God, Moses held it up, and it was a symbol of Christ being lifted up, and if they looked to that they would live. And that thing was still laying around, and somehow or another, they had got to worshiping that instead of Christ. They had got to worshiping that instead of Christ. We're not going to look at all the other things, but this is the one that I want to look at, that brazen serpent. And I believe that there was frustration in the voice of Hezekiah. He had lived through the emptiness of serving false gods, perhaps bearing the scars on his very body of serving false gods. And he took that snake, that serpent that Moses had made, and he break it into pieces, and he called it Nehushtan, which meant a piece of brass. It's just a piece of metal. That's all it is. Now, they had probably kept it around because of the great deliverance that had been brought to them. It symbolized Christ, so nobody really wanted to destroy it. It'd be similar to not handling the flag properly. And so they had kept that around. But somewhere along the line, instead of worshiping the God that had delivered them, they had begun to worship that trinket. And I believe in frustration, he broke it in pieces and called it Nehushtan. A piece of metal, a piece of brass. That's all that it is just a piece of brass, is what he was saying to the people. Well, as we turn and look at our own lives, and we have to test ourselves, and we have to consider, where have we gone into these areas? Are there ways that we have idolatry in our hearts? Are there ways that we've replaced God? And we see that one of the tests is when this became a god, they began to burn incense to it. It began to take their attention. It began to take their service. It began to take their tithes. It began to take their time. And we tithe We all tithe to a lot of things. We really do. We went through our bank accounts. We tithe to a lot of things other than just God. There's a lot of things drawing on our finances other than God. There's a lot of things drawing on our time other than God. They began to burn incense to it. They began to give their sweetest passion to it. This is the test. Anything that we tithe to, anything that regularly demands our time, demands our fear or our trust, relieves us of anxiety or takes precedence over Christ or His day, any of these things can become gods. Any of these things can become problems. When He called this a piece of brass, He was bringing them back to a proper perspective. That's what He was doing. A proper perspective. What He did was probably very controversial. I mean, He probably drew a lot of controversy and a lot of problems for doing this. That He broke that up. Some would say, oh, that's a symbol of... I mean, this was a spiritual thing. This was a thing ordained of God, made by Moses. This was probably very hard for a lot of people. This began as a good thing. This began as something that was commissioned by God, but they had begun to worship it instead of God. And they got out of perspective. And it's very dangerous when we get out of perspective in this way. If you'll turn with me to Romans chapter number 14 and bear with me as I try to connect these two thoughts together, as I believe they are in my mind and in my heart. Somewhere along the line, the children of Judah had begun to take something and give it more importance than Christ. Heard so many older preachers say the main thing is that you keep the main thing the main thing. And that's Christ. Has to be first and foremost in everything. And that sounds so very simple, but there are many ways that we can get off track in that. There are many ways in which we can begin to worship the church instead of Christ. We can begin to worship the Bible conference instead of Christ. And when our priorities get out of order, we actually begin to destroy, and we will see this as we go on, we begin to destroy that which we should be worshiping. Romans 14, verse 1, "Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him that which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth, yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord." That's the focus. Whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. They had gotten out of focus in their life, in their worship particularly. They had gotten out of perspective. And they had gotten focused on this serpent as though it was anything. And, well, let's read on here in Romans 14. Verse 9, "For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be clean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men." We'll read a few more verses there, but Paul was dealing with a matter that was going on concerning what you could eat, what you could not eat, what days you should worship, what days you should not worship, what days were holy days and what days were no longer holy days, what were acceptable festivals and feasts and what were not. Could you eat meat offered to idols or could you not? And there was controversy. Controversy that was harming the unity of the church. And in their effort and in their desire to do good, they were causing great harm. Back in verse 15, it said, "Destroy not him with thy meat." We can, for meat, metal, or anything, as we saw back in Hezekiah's day, he said, "For meat, destroy not your brother." The danger is when we cease to make Christ the main thing, and we begin to major on some of these other things, and we begin to worship these things instead of Christ. The problem is we become very destructive in our life. We destroy those around us. If we're not worshiping Christ, if we're out of focus, if we're worshiping religion, if we're worshiping the church, if we're worshiping some formalism, or if we're worshiping something else other than Christ, if we're out of focus, then we begin to do things like they were doing in Romans chapter 14. They were arguing with one another. Now, we come to church together for edification, and we come to church to do the work of the Lord. We have Bible conferences to do the work of the Lord, but then if we devour one another, we're not focused on what we're here for, and we become destructive. He said, "Destroy not your brother," 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. He deals with another issue in another church. They were going to court with one another. In verse 6, he said, "But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before unbelievers." How could they do such a thing? Because they were not focused on the work of Christ. He was not the main thing. "Brother goeth to law with brother, and that before unbelievers." Verse 7, "Now there is utterly a fault among you." In other words, there's a horrible, horrible problem. You're horribly out of focus. You have completely disregarded the work of Christ. And you become counterproductive to the work of Christ. You're destroying it. And as he said back in Romans 14, destroy not your brother for meat, for nothing. There are so many things in our lives that don't mean anything. And as Hezekiah was bringing things back into focus, he said, this is a piece of brass. This is nothing. And as Paul was telling the people in the book of Romans, he was telling them, for meat. You know, some of them could get meat cheaper because it was offered to idols, and they were splitting the church over this. Over nothing. How out of focus they were. Oh, they were continuing to come to church. They were continuing to do all the same things and go through all the same motions, but they had ceased to focus on the main thing. Back in Romans 14, we left off there. Verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ. And that reminds me of that serpent. In that serpent they served Christ, but they had begun to serve the serpent. These ones in Romans 14 had begun to serve and worship holy days. They'd begun to serve and worship what they could and couldn't eat. They'd made a god out of that. But he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Verse 19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. Oh, there's so much that is unnecessary. That God's people are willing to get in an argument with one another. You know, a Bible conference is a wonderful thing. A revival is a wonderful thing. Ladies' retreats are wonderful things. But I used to have to tell our people in Cadillac, if we can't get settled on some things sometimes, and if the ladies can't get along and plan something, we're not going to do it. Because that's counterproductive. We're here to serve Christ. We're not here to have a nice meal. We're not here to have... And if anything that we do is counterproductive to that, we have ceased to serve Christ. We've fallen in love with festivals and feast days, and we're not in love with Christ. We're not serving Him. We're not focused on that work. He said, let us follow after peace, verse 19, and the things which one may edify another. This is the work of God. Notice verse 20. Again, we see that word destroy. This is strong language. For meat, destroy not the work of God. But we allow things to become more important to us than Him and His work. We like our way. We like certain things. For meat, for something as small as meat, and this is the same perspective that Hezekiah, that we hear in his words when he called that idol just a piece of, this is just a piece of brass. Yes, it was once good. Yes, it symbolized Christ, but there was a time it just plain had to go. And it had become a problem. For meat, for anything, destroy not the work of God. Sometimes we're like a bull in a china shop when it comes to the work of God. Offending one another, arguing, striving with one another, and none of it's worth it. For meat, for brass, for anything, it's simply not worth it. Destroy not your brother. This is the language that he's speaking to them in 1 Corinthians 6 when he tells them to just, you know, why do you not just be defrauded? For the work of Christ, be defrauded. When you're at a restaurant, don't be so picky with your meal. You know, be defrauded. The work of Christ to be the main thing. For meat, for houses, for jobs, for anything, destroy not the work of God. While we're here in Romans chapter 12 and verse 17 says, recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, and it's not always possible, you can't control everybody else, You don't want to control yourself. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, as much as you have the power to do this, live peaceably with all men. That sounds very important. In 1 Peter chapter 2, the last part of 1 Peter 2 talks about suffering and how that Christ left an example for us. In chapter 2 and verse 21, he says, "For even hereunto were ye called." We're called to just handle suffering, to just take it for the work of Christ, for the furtherance of the work. And he carries that same thought of just suffering wrongfully because Christ has suffered for us, leaving us an example. He carries that same thing into chapter 3 when he talks about husbands and wives. "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your husband." Like what? Like Christ suffered wrongfully for us. "Likewise, ye husbands," in verse 7. Likewise what? Like Christ did for us. But we get in a habit of getting focused on other things. And we live very destructive lives. Nothing in our life is worth it. As Hezekiah brought the people back to a point of focus, he said, "This is just a piece of brass." It is so sad that marriages die over houses, over cars. Children are destroyed. Church members are destroyed. So many times there's been oftentimes church projects that church members have not made it through. It's happened in many years past. It's happened here. It's happened at many other churches. And none of it's worth it. Grass isn't worth it. Walls aren't worth it. Pain isn't worth it. And there came a day that Hezekiah had had enough and he destroyed that brazen serpent. Well, it was a good thing. It had started out good. This was a very controversial move. It would be like today if we had gotten out of focus and we thought this building was more important than Christ, and we allowed it to divide relationships and the work of it to divide homes. It'd be very controversial for someone to come and just tear it down. That'd be controversial. But essentially, that's what he did. He broke it into pieces. And he said, "This is just a piece of brass." Perspective. He brought perspective back to the equation. Lastly, if you'll turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, in verse 10. Perspective. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." Everything here to be destroyed. How sad that we have let so many things take precedence over our walk with Christ, over our testimony for Christ. So many things that we've allowed to destroy our homes, destroy our brethren, destroy our children. For what? For brass? For meat? For our own way? For how we think things should happen? He said, "The earth also and all the works that are therein shall be burned up, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. What manner of people ought we to be? People with a perspective. People that understand the value of everything in light of eternity. All the things that we offend for should never happen. Should never be the case. For brass, for meat, for houses, for cars, for jobs, for whatever it may be. There's a lot of things that we just plain need to destroy, like Hezekiah did. One day that they just took out the trash that day, hauled everything to the river, and got rid of it. Not necessarily tangible things. Many of the things are just thoughts, ideas, modes of life, modes of worship, things that we think, priorities, many, many different things. And you can test it all by that one test. They were burning incense to it. They were giving of themselves. They were giving their passions. They were tithing of their time, tithing of their money, tithing of all those things to it. To what? A piece of brass is absolutely nothing. What a thing to destroy the work of God for, to destroy God's people for, just nothing. A piece of brass, a piece of meat, a bargain, to have your own way, whatever it may be. But we'll stop there.